this morning. So we're getting ready to sow our tithes and offerings. We believe God. We trust God. We print it on our money, and I believe it in my heart. And that's where it matters. It don't matter how much money you got. It matters if are you in love with it or are you in love with God. I'm in love with God. Sometimes my pocketbook don't show it. I said sometimes my pocketbook don't show it, but God ain't through yet. The day ain't done yet. I said the day ain't over yet. There's still light out here. 24 hours in a day. God don't need time. He don't move on time. He moves on faith. He acts on faith. He operates in faith. And the just shall live by faith. So I'm not living by my bank account. I'm living by my faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to be defeated. And I'm not going to back up. He attacks my family. I'm going to attack him. Talking about the devil. You attack my family, you're going to get attacked, devil. He don't know how much he messed up getting Terry bothered this week. He don't know how much he messed up. It's costing his kingdom dearly. The kingdom of darkness has suffered today. It's suffered today. Amen. It's suffered. Jesus was moved with compassion. I tell you what, the devil's defeated. Glory to God. He's defeated in our finances. Where am I going? Hebrews. Going to the book of Hebrews. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You know, as pastors, sometimes we sit at the dinner table by ourselves with the Bible open, with the computer on, with our notebooks we've had for 4 or 5 years, and you just don't hear nothing of what you want to. You just don't hear nothing, but you know something's on the inside working. But sometimes, you know, you have that silence. It's not that God's not speaking. It's just he's wanting me to hear the right thing. So as all these thoughts are channeling through my mind and all these scriptures are going through my mind, and I just finally just say, you know, if you want to hear God, you just got to open the book. Just keep it simple. I try to think about all the messages I preach. You don't want to re-preach something you preach. And somebody say, oh, well, he's done preached that. But that's okay. If I need to say John 3:16 again, we'll preach it. But I'm just saying, you think about these things. You want to preach something that you hadn't touched on. But if God says go back and preach it, you go back and preach it.
That's right.
I don't care how many times I preached it. I need to hear it again. But I was sitting there, and you know, we've been talking about, I don't want to get into the message yet, we're going to talk about your giving right now. I done got stirred up this morning. I'm trying to go in all kinds of different directions. Somebody's going to have to throw a lasso on me. Thank you, Lord. Last thing I wrote on my notes is just preach it. Sometimes you start with the introduction, your conclusion. I said, conclusion, just preach it. Preach it, Jesus. I'm relying on him today. Glory to God. Y'all draw it out. Be believing with me. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm not going to tell you the verse yet because I'm not sure what I'm going to read yet. I'm believing by faith too. This is the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to end in verse 9. We're going to start at verse 1. There is a promise of rest. Rest before you sow your tithes and offerings. And rest after. The in-between is up to God. Therefore, Hebrews 4, chapter 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word, talking about the children of Israel, the gospel was preached to them, but the word which they heard, it did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. There's more than just hearing the word. There's more than just giving your tithes and offerings. You got to mix it with something. You got to mix it with faith, believing. This ain't just I just don't come here and plunk my money in this offering plate. I'm sowing my seed into the kingdom of God, into my children's children's future. And I'm not going to compare myself among myself looking at, well, man, this brother's got all kind of riches. Why am I going to leave my kids? No, I'm not looking at that. My riches come from glory. Riches in glory. Riches in glory. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said in the Old Testament, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, For he has spoken in a certain place of the Sabbath day, seventh day in this way, and God rested on the Sabbath day from all his works. In other words, he finished everything. It's like a lawyer, when he rests his case, God was finished. He couldn't, it was perfected. There's nothing else he could add to or take away from what he said, what he spoke. What he believed before he spoke what he was going to have. That's what Terry did this morning. Since therefore, verse 6, it remains that some must enter that rest still, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience or unbelief. Again, he designates a certain day. Say certain day. Certain day. Saying in David, today. Say today.
Today.
Today. After such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, say hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts. Just believe. Just believe. Unbelief hardens your heart. Believing softens your heart. Childlike faith. Just believe. Rowan's believing for a Ford Mustang, I think, GT. Right? What is it? You've been picking out a few, but I told him, I said, you better believe God, because you're probably not going to get that for the first one, but you keep believing God. Because I got to see definitely how you ride that lawnmower before you would get either a brand new or a Ford Mustang. I didn't get that when I was young. But I'm not going to, I don't want his heart to be hardened. Believe God. Trust God. He'll have to bless Daddy. Whatever he has to do. But you believe God. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
God is no respecter of persons. If he said, you will enter into that rest, enter in. See, that's not God's choice, that's my choice.
Amen.
When I come to his house today and believing and expecting and putting my money into the kingdom of God, now I got to rest. Knowing that God said he'll bless me 30, 60, or 100-fold. And I'm believing for the 100-fold. Because I got a lot of things I need to do for God. For he who has entered his rest, God's rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. In other words, there's nothing we can do to get born again, and there's nothing that we can do to not be unborn again. It was all by grace. Once I get saved, I don't need to keep doing something to stay saved, except other than just believe and rest. In other words, I don't have to do something to attain something from Jesus. Jesus did it all. He said, just believe in the works that I did. And he also told people that as things were happening, it's not me that do the works, it's the Father in me that does the works. Thank God for the Father that has worked out all the stuff in our life before he even created this world. And Father, we're just going to, let's stand this morning as we give. Lord, we need that supernatural rest today. Not just today, but tomorrow is another day. And when tomorrow gets here, it's going to be today. So, Lord, we're going to focus on today. You said today. You didn't say tomorrow. You said today. So today we're focusing on, as we give to you, that we're going to enter into rest. That we make the choice, Lord. You said to rest, and we're going to rest. That means we're trusting you and believing you that what you said, you will bring it to pass. That you'll cause increase into our life from the north, south, east, and the west. Supernatural provision. Say streams. Streams of provision. Say this with me. Lord, we're believing for windows of light. Doors of opportunity. And
streams of provision.
To do thy will. And Lord, we bring our offering today, Father. And I thank you, Lord, as your people come and worship you with their tithes and offerings today, Lord. That we come into this rest area. We're driving down this road, Lord, and we're coming into the rest area.
Yes.
We're resting in you. We're resting in Jesus today. And Lord, we're going to unload. We're going to take a load off, Lord. We're going to sit in Daddy's house today. Lord, we're coming to your house today. We're bringing our tithes and offerings into your house today, rejoicing all the way,
yes,
laughing at the devil.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, devil, you said my bank account wasn't looking good. You're a liar. God is El Shaddai.
Yes.
He's the Most High God. Lord, he's blessed me in this city and blessed me in the field. I just need to get out in the field a little bit, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your blessings overtaking us, chasing us down, covering us, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, Father. And with a cheerful attitude, Lord, we come today and sow into the kingdom of God, knowing you and knowing this, that we shall not be defeated in our finances, in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Come down to the front. Worship the Lord with your tithes and offerings. Come into your rest area. Come into the rest area. You know, this is precious. This is precious to God. Gold and silver. You know what God thinks of gold and silver? What am I doing? What am I doing? What does God do with gold and silver? It says, my home in heaven is streets paved with gold. Glory to God. I'm walking on it. Man, I'm going to walk. This is a little thing. If God walks on the streets of gold, what can he do with yours, Lewis? Oh, Jesus, what's he going to do with yours, Vicky? Happy birthday, Vicky. And believing God for, man, he can bless your socks off. And then you can walk on holy ground barefooted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a privilege and an honor to have this in my hand. It's precious. An offering unto God. Terry, but I can't see God. I can't see him. But I believe him. I can see this money. It can't speak to me. I can't see God, but he speaks to me. See, he's not dead. He's not dead. This money's dead. Man created this money. It's just man made this. This is man made. But see, this is not what I'm giving. I'm giving something that's alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's alive. This is we give an offering. We're offering our life to God. Man, that's alive. You know, we could take this dollar and I could plant it in the ground and it's just going to rot and decay. But not in the Word of God. It's a seed. It's alive on the inside of me. And when I mix it with faith and put my money into that, believing that, God said he's going to bless me abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to the power that works in me. I got to let the power out. I got to let my words of faith out. Lord, I don't know how that's going to happen, but you do. You told me to rest in you and trust you in my finances. And he didn't tell us just to have one child. He said, be blessed, be fruitful, and multiply. God didn't put a number on it. Now, you got to use wisdom. I got four. Back in the old days, it was common, 12, 14, I mean, patriarchs. God said, be fruitful. They got land to conquer, you know, back in the old days. But, you know, we got to use wisdom. But I can't do it. I mean, I used to talk to a bottle. Me and a bottle have a conversation back before Jesus and God because I couldn't make ends meet. So me and that bottle, Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, George Dickel, we'd have a sit down. We talked to each other. Neither one of us got much. Well, he felt a lot better than I did in the morning. He was still a bottle of liquor. I was a body full of a hangover effects of that liquor. And you know what? He got my money. And he didn't give me nothing back but a hangover. And he stole from my kids before I knew Jesus. He was stealing from them, robbing from them. I'm talking about something other than Jesus. Something dead that steals, kills, and destroys. Yeah, they call it spirits. There's no spirit in that alcohol, but there's a spirit behind it. Yeah. And see, that's the spirit that we got to deal with. It's called a spirit of death. Destruction. Praise the Lord. God gave me the right message. But he's filling in all the spaces, Terry. This is all filling. Praise God. Ain't you glad? So today I'm staying on this knowing Jesus. I'm actually going to, on the internet, I'm going to call it the Knowing Him series. Knowing Jesus, knowing him, having a relationship with him. I started out knowing Jesus, no trouble. If I know Jesus, when trouble comes, ain't no trouble. He'll give me what I need to know when I need to know it. And it's already in there. He'll just bring it up what I need. Then our next message, I talked about knowing Jesus, No poverty. No passing over those opportunities repeatedly. No more. Shutting that door. Shutting that door of no poor door. And this week, and I think we've been talking about it and walking around this morning, is knowing Jesus, I want no death. No death. I like that. Because I've been a part of, we've all been a part of that kingdom at one time, that kingdom of darkness. There's no rest in there. There's no rest in darkness, in death. Death, the Bible says, has torment. There's no rest in torment. You drink you about 3 cups of coffee about 9 o'clock, try to go to bed about 10. you'll be tormented. Things will be clicking, clicking, clicking. Well, I need to do this, I need to do that. That caffeine. See, there's no rest in fear. There's no rest in darkness. There's no rest in death. There's torment constantly telling you what you've done wrong. This is what hell, we just got a glimpse. We can read it, and the life we used to live, we experienced it living in hell. We were born into hell, born into death, a sinner. But that was just a taste of it. There's coming a time to where you'll be covered in it. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about when death is cast into the lake of fire. That's the end of the message. But to those who don't know God, that's their destiny. Is not only experienced a little bit here, but to be baptized in it forever. Immersed in it. Tormented forever, night and day, day and night, where the worm never dies. See, death defined is the end of life of a person or an, if I can say this right, organism. My biology days. The end of death is the end of a life of a person or an organism. So that works a little bit there. See, my body is made up of a lot of organisms, different microscopic organisms, cells. They're going to die. This flesh is going to die, but I'm not going to cease to exist. See, death is not ceasing to exist. It's just that an organism, the flesh dies. And then we either live with God forever or we live without God forever in a place called hell. That's death. That's really the second death. What did Jesus think about death? I'm just going to one scripture verse, but there's a lot in here. Do a word search on death in the New Testament, and you'll just find 123 places there. But let's look in the book of John. See what Jesus thought about death. One aspect today. Because Reed, he's going to bring you something next Sunday. And then Pastor Lewis Hager, he's going to be back with you the first Sunday in November. So this might be the end of this series, and it might not. I'll let you know. But it's going to be the end of death as we know it. If we don't know some things, there's some things here that God's going to let you understand about death. And you probably did know it, but if you know it, you need to listen again. Wait a minute. I don't want to get you, I'm going to get you too far off here. Let's go to the book of Acts. No Jesus, no death. About messed my keynote. About got off key. Acts 9, verses 36 through 43. Acts 9, 36, 43. This is talking about Dorcas. Another name, she was called Tabitha. It says, at Joppa, this is a city close to Jerusalem, there was a certain disciple, say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. See, there's many disciples out there, many voices, but I'm a voice, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. There was a certain, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. That word Tabitha means graceful. She was graceful, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds. I wonder why her name is called graceful. She was full of good works and good deeds. Sounds like Jesus. Full of grace and truth. But it happened in those days that she became sick. Doing good, full of good works, charitable deeds. See, the devil does not care what good things you're doing. But it happened in those days that she became sick, and not even became sick, she died. I'd say prematurely. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydia, which is another place, another city, was near Joppa, and the disciples hear of Tabitha, other believers that she had friendship and fellowship with. This was her church. This was her church group, the women's society that she hung out with at church. They heard that Peter, the apostle Peter, was there at Lydia. They sent two men to him, imploring or urging him not to delay, but come to them. Didn't tell them what had happened, just imploring. It very important, Peter. So Peter undoubtedly had a relationship with this church, this group of disciples. It said, Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. Not the first time Peter been in the upper room. Come on now. We in the book of Acts. He'd been there before. He'd been there waiting 40 days. No, excuse me, waiting 10 days. Because Pentecost is 50. After Jesus left, they waited there 10 days till the day of Pentecost was fully come. He was familiar with the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping. This Dorcas had passed away. Showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. I think about Colette, all these nice blankets. I was just looking at Dallas's last night. He was covered up with, walking around and laying on the couch. All these things that she had done, good deeds that she had done. Even put her name on there, put their names on there. They're weeping. Look at Peter's response. But Peter put them all out. Now, he just didn't take his boot off and kick them out the door. He probably, out of love, escorted them to another room. Out of the upper room. Maybe to a side room. Maybe told them to get some refreshments ready. Set at least one extra plate and cup. Peter rose and went with them when he had come, but Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, this dead body, say dead, full of death. It was full of good works and charitable deeds. See, death was trying to get a hold of. Death tried to come against that grace. You getting the picture here? What Jesus thinks of death? He turned to that body and he said, Tabitha, Dorcas, Grace, arise. Your prayers don't have to be long. They need to be full of faith. Peter was full of faith. Full of the Holy Ghost. He was in that upper room again. Arise. And she opened her eyes. Tabitha, arise. Brenda, arise. Larry, arise. Boom. Death had to leave because grace was there. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And Peter gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. What does Jesus think about death? Flee. Arise. Mason, arise. That's it. There's no room for unbelief in there. Because we've got to be full of grace. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of power. Believing. And it became known. There's going to be some people that's going to know about this, Terry. Because it's a sign and they need to come in to the kingdom. How did this happen? How much time you got? Sit down, let me tell you. Let me tell you about this Jesus I know. Let me tell you about this church I go to that know how to pray. That know how to believe.
Thank you, Lord.
They don't believe in death. They believe in life. Death has no place.
Amen.
In a Christian's life.
Amen.
It's a door that we don't have open in our life. Amen?
Amen.
And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So it was that Peter stayed there many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. What did Peter do? He remembered what the Master did. He was one of the sons of thunders that Jesus took personally with him into the room. He told all the weepers and the mourners, not speaking against you, Terry, but our emotions, we got to put them in the other room. You know what I'm talking about. Because Jesus has got to occupy that whole space of faith.
That's right.
So that death is conquered, but it has to be spoken to. Authority has to be relieved because the devil, we got to submit to God, resist him, speak, and he has to flee that room. And we can't have no doubt or unbelief in that hospital room. See, we're standing in the gap. We're coming against those gaps of unbelief that might be up there, and we outnumber them. Because, see, Mason doesn't know yet. He doesn't understand yet. But God's Word is greater than unbelief. We can speak to those things. And he fills that room. And in that room, an atmosphere of grace, there's life. There's no death. No room for death. It wasn't time for her to die. She didn't have a choice. She didn't say, I want to die. Sickness hit her. She was doing good things, full of grace. And she got sick and died. That wasn't her choice. That was the devil. Took a shot at her. Got in the door. But it matters who your friends are. Who you've been hanging around with. Who you've been talking about. I want people to, if I get knocked down, the prayer team's getting on the line. Boy, they're calling people that know how to pray. Not everybody. They call on the people that know that this ain't right. This ain't God, like Kelsey talked about. This ain't God's will. Get on the phone. Call them up. Take them to Peter's house. Take them to Lewis's house. Take them to Terry's house. Or bring them to there. I've been to the morgue. I've had a good buddy. Took his life. This is when I was a young Christian, barely had my diapers on. But I believed God. I had that zeal, but I didn't have no knowledge. Went to the mortician, had permission from the wife, but I don't think she thought we was loony, and rightfully so, didn't have all the ins and the outs, but my friend already been embalmed. But me and my wife still went there and prayed, commanded death to leave and for him to come back in Jesus' name. And left there expecting him to come walking out of the back place of that funeral home. Sit there and prayed in the Holy Ghost. And didn't sing. But still, on the inside, like I carried those plates, there was something on the inside that said, you're doing right. You're doing right. You know this is right. But God, where did I miss it? See there? Where did I miss it? I know it's not you. And the Lord showed me later. There's a lot of variables in there that a lot of times we don't know. Did he want to come back? Or did he want to leave? See, I can't go against his will. Not even if he's in the presence of Jesus. But Dorcas, it was not her will to leave. The devil was involved in this. He came against her. She was full of grace, full of good works. And it was not her time. Death was not in her time. She didn't die. She was just taken. She was in the presence of the Lord, but it was not her time. The devil got in there too quick. Did you get that chapter in John? Let's go over to John 8. Peter showed us what he thought about death. And he had the same mind. He had the mind of Christ. John chapter 8. Verses 48. Say, before Abraham, Jesus was. He is the I Am. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's life. And is the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. The Jews answered and said to him, talking to Jesus, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, you tell Jesus he's messing with the devil, he's going to have you an answer. He don't play with that crowd. Answered, I do not have a devil. I might try to paraphrase this here in a minute. I better not. I might say something Jesus didn't say, but he wasn't happy with what he just got put on him. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Ooh, that's Jesus ain't happy. You better be glad he didn't call fire down from heaven. You better be glad he was ushering in a covenant of grace and love here. And I do not seek my own glory. I'm not in pride. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never what?
See death.
If we keep his word, we won't even see it, Terry. We'll hear. We've heard about it. We'll hear about it. but we don't even have to see it. Then the Jews said to him, Now we know you have a devil. If they said about Jesus, they're going to say it about you. They're going to say, because see, they can't understand. If you're in darkness, you're blind anyway. keep speaking the light. Keep showing them the light. I don't have a demon. I got God Almighty on the inside of me. You're blinded. Oh, we know you got a devil now, Jesus. Abraham is dead. Got you now. We've got proof. Abraham's dead. And the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps your word, they shall never taste death. Well, Jesus actually said, see death. They said, taste. Their bellies were probably getting hungry, wasn't they? They've been talking to this Jesus long enough, they were thinking about what they're going to eat next. But verse 53, are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make? Who do you think you are, pastor? Who do you think you are, preacher? Saying that same-sex marriages is right, not wrong. Who do I think I am? Who does God say that I am? Let God be true, and let every man be a liar. Now, do you want me to go ahead and call you what God said you are? No, I'm not. You judge. See, you can love them, but tell them the truth. Let God be true. I'm trusting in God. What God? Prove to me there's a God. I ain't got to prove to you. It's a choice. You either believe or disbelieve. But look at the works I'm doing. Can you do that? Can you do that? If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that He is your God. Yet you have not known Him. And I know Him, and if I say I do not know Him, I shall be like a liar like you. Uh-oh, just called them a liar to their face. Sometimes we just got to be blunt. But I know Him, and I keep His word. And I say, what about you? Your father Abraham rejoiced. Jesus didn't say, He didn't call Abraham His father, did He? He said, your father Abraham. See, Abraham was not Jesus' father. He was His friend. He had a father, Father God. We shall call no man on this earth father but one. We have one Father. He is in heaven. Now we honor our mother and our father, our earthly father, our dad. You gotta balance that right there. He's my dad. He's my earthly father. Jesus had an earthly father, but He didn't worship Him. He honored Him. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Why can't you be glad? Why you want to get in my face and say, I got a devil? And the Jews said to him, you are not 50 years old. Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am that I am. I ain't going to answer to you. I am. You better be watching what you're saying. Then they took up stones at the man. Going to throw stones at him now to throw at him. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple. There's no death in Jesus. They wasn't going to kill Him. He's full of good works and grace. A stone, sticks and stones, they're trying to throw Him at Him. They can't. He hides. The glory of God. Talk about our kids. Talk about shooting in the high schools. Why can't we believe and trust in the anointing? The gun has to not shoot. He can't even see me. I'm not even a target because death has no victory over me. Because I'm full of grace and life. I'm full of God. I'm full of the anointing, the power of God. This is what we got to display as a church. Now, I'm to love my brother and my sister and those my enemies out there, but not the devil. I mean, I don't wrestle with flesh and blood. I'm not going to wrestle with you, but I'll wrestle against him, against the devil, with the Word of God, with the truth. Because he's a liar. Yes. And death is in his kingdom. It's not in our kingdom. And when it comes up against us, we're going to fight against it. We're going to prevail. We've already won. We've already got the victory. And we have to be enforcers. We have to let him know about it. Because see, he's a thief. He doesn't listen to direct orders from us unless we have authority from heaven and we got it. But he wants to hear you say it. And when he hears you say it, then he's got to obey it. But see, it's got to come from our lips because that's our will. That's our jurisdiction. See, you can come in there illegally. But once you know your jurisdiction and your authority, you got to rise up, and that's how God has given us that authority. our domain. This is my house. That's for me and my house. We serve the Lord. So you're over your house. Alan and Andre's over their house. So we got to know them, that God is for them. They got to know that. And that's their jurisdiction. And Alan knows this because he's the security officer, right? He's still in that field. He knows, and he's going to learn some more about authority because God's going to reveal it to him. Windows of light. He's going to be seeing things, and God's going to be showing him things because love never fails. God don't give up on us. No matter where we go, no matter what comes against us, he's always... Now, the devil's going to try. He's going to get in, and he's going to try to manipulate and deceive. But Jesus will show up and show off according to his word. And I'll step back and say, what did y'all do different here? What happened? Something happened here. And that's when we got to be a witness. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. This is why it happened. Oh, you got a devil or something, man. You mentally disturbed. No, my mind is dead. I got the mind of Christ. How much time you got? Let me tell you something. I know something about life. I used to be in death. Look in John 8, verses 52 again. The Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon, a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. I'm running a little bit behind. Can y'all stick with me a little bit? Can I finish this? That clock is being deceived. It's deceiving me back there. Where did the time go? I'm going to read you something out of my Bible. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. That word taste means to disgust. It means to eat. To eat. Partake of. To experience. It's both naturally and metaphorically, especially to describe the personal experience of death. A Christian should never taste death. I thought about this. A Christian will never... A true Christian, born-again believer in Christ, will never taste death or eat at the devil's house. Take the D off. You got eat, taste, experience. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. That's the house of life. Okay, death, you eating at the devil's house. D-H. Don't go there. Don't sit at his table. There's nothing there that you're going to enjoy. The wages of sin is death. It might taste good for a while until the worms start coming out, until you really see what was on the inside. You ever had that rotten apple? You get about halfway done, you turn around, oh man, there's a wormhole in there. No, there ain't no worm in there. Where's it at? I think it's in my belly. I always check my apple. Right? It matters where we eat, whose table we sitting at. God has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemy. Need to be eating at that table, having the bread of life, chasing it down with the water of the word, and experiencing Zoe, God kind of life here. Today, if we'll hear his voice, I'm going to speed up right here and go quick. The conclusion, I've already preached, so I might not have to do the conclusion. I started preaching at the beginning, right? I think we've already concluded. If the devil would take us out early, even if, there's an if, I like to put even if. Don't even give him the if. Even if the devil could take us out early, our body will die. But my spirit and my soul will be ushered into the presence of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So that kind of helps you right there. The Holy Spirit can give you some comfort. If you lose a lost loved one or some a relative that's close, but they were born again, carry on, my brother, my sister. Go on, go to the next person and try to help them because they're in the presence of the Lord. You're going to have a time of grieving, but rejoice. They lost that battle. One battle they lost, but they won the war because they're in the presence of God. That's Philippians 2:23. Though my body be dead, I'm alive unto God. Paul was taught, he said, I'm caught between the two. To stay here for me in the body is your gain. But to die is far better, to be with Christ, far better. But he honored the office that he was in. And he said, I'm going to stay here as long as you need me to, Lord. I'm going to stay here because I can help somebody else. I can help somebody else. Thank God, and we got to read it right here. He's helping us today, right? From the courts of heaven, his voice is still in the earth, the Apostle Paul. Brothers and sisters, stay far away from the devil's house. The Bible says to even appearance of evil, I'm supposed to get out of there. At the very appearance of it. Make your choice with true disciples of Christ. Make your abode. Build your relationship with true disciples. How you know a disciple? Look at their fruit. You'll know the tree by the fruit. That's the tree you won't be under if the apple falls off and hits you on the head. Tree of life. That's the fruit you won't be under. Like the disciples that Tabitha was acquainted with. The devil took her out and they weren't satisfied. They went to Peter's house. Peter had experience of raising the dead. He'd been with Jesus. Get you somebody that's got some experience with what you're dealing with. That's the wisdom of God. Insanity would be doing the same thing, and expect something different. You might need to go to somebody else if you're getting the same results. Go to Jesus first. Make sure he's your first contact. Don't even wait on the pastor. He might be on the golf course. He might be at the football game. But Jesus never sleeps or slumbers. Don't forget to call your pastor. Now, he loves you too. He's God. He's Elohim. He's all that you need. Make sure your company's good. When you have a problem, and believe me, I'm not prophesying, but you're going to have a problem. As long as we're living and got the flesh, we're going to have problems. We're going to have trouble. But that is time to call on believers and believe for and go after what is rightfully yours. Rightfully. Your children. You don't mess with my children, devil. You don't mess with me, but definitely don't you mess with my children or grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren. Because then you're going to mess with the Ancient of Days. You're going to have to answer to the Ancient of Days. And his will is get out and get up and preach on, brother. Preach on, Mason. Preach on. Tell them the good news. Glory to God. There's life. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus gave his blood. That's his life. Life is in the blood. He gave his blood so you and I can enjoy my life. So we need to grab a hold of those benefits and don't turn them loose. Notice as we read the rest of that passage, verses 39 through 43. Flip over to Acts, because I said I ain't going to read that. I'm in the wrong passage. You need to hear this though. Acts chapter 9. I get off course, but God will get me right back on. We're going to finish 39 through 43. We talked about Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing their tunics, the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that Peter stayed there many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. Peter did not even mention the devil in that prayer. He did not even mention death in that room. Because in bringing this child to life, why? Because Jesus has got the keys. He got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Peter didn't have to speak to death, to the devil. He don't have authority over death. Jesus got the keys. And that's your authority. You don't have to go to somebody that's dead and start talking to the devil. Start speaking life. Just speak life. But you got to have a relationship with Jesus. You got to know him, that he is the resurrection and the life. And Peter went into the upper room, and it wasn't time to have a battle with the devil. It was time to bring this girl back to life, because she's full of grace and good work. She's got much more time here on the earth to do what God has called her to do. You remember the old prophet in the Old Testament? It's either Elisha or Elisha. He died. He had the anointing of God on him, and he died. And he was in a ground, and his flesh was gone. The only thing that was left was his bones. And somebody fell into his grave that was dead. Fell into this prophet's grave dead, touched those bones, the anointing hit him, and he came back alive. There was enough anointing in somebody in a prophet's dead bones to bring back life, resurrection life. There's power in the Word of God.
Yes. Amen.
Even if you don't believe and to come in contact with it, it's going to do something. It's going to do something. Man, there's power in that Word.
Yes.
Death, sickness, disease, it doesn't matter. You speak the word of God over it boldly, declaring, and you say nothing contrary. Right? Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know Jesus, you're not going to know death. Even when it comes time for you to step on out of that body, you're not going to taste death, and you're not going to experience death, and you're not going to see death. You're going to see Jesus. We can see Him now even in the body, by the Spirit, by our spirit. It's alive unto God. It stays alive. It's what keeps us alive. It's what keeps us going on. If it wasn't for that, we'd all be ready to go. But we want to honor God. We want to fulfill our course that He has for us. And even those that are 2 or 3 years old, they've got a destiny and a destination. And it's not death, it's life. And we're thanking God for His provision and for His blessing, for His word. And for each, He's thanking each one of you for coming today so that we can go out here and plant seeds of life into a world that's full of darkness. And it's no different in our day than it was in Jesus' day. Don't let the devil think, well, this is a whole different crowd out there now. It don't matter. It's all, there's a time and there's a season. God and the Word never changes. It's alive in every season of our life. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you right now. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you for giving us a spirit of life. I thank you, Lord, for giving me this message today, Lord. It wasn't for me. Yes, it was. I received my message too, but it was for your people. That, Lord, they might be getting ready to experience something this week that's going to challenge their mind, their way of thinking, their philosophy. A philosophy is a way of thinking. Like Kelsey mentioned this morning, Lord, we've been hearing your word, your truth, and we're not going to believe a lie. We're not going to be deceived by the devil and his kingdom. We know you, Jesus. We have a relationship with you. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. When trials and tribulation come, that we're going to speak forth your word boldly like Peter. We're going to have the upper room experience. We're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power and power and power. And we're going to speak life, and we're going to see lives touched and changed for your glory, for your kingdom. We thank you, Lord. We call in the lost right now in the name of Jesus in this area. We call them. We see them born again right now, Father. Lord, we thank you for the anointing right now as we go out, Father, that people, just our shadow walking by, Lord, that the devils are, that comes in contact with your anointing, your presence, and they have to flee for somebody to get born again. Lord, they are drawn to us because of your anointing on the inside of us, because of the hope that we have on the inside of us, that, Lord, they're drawn to us. They see something. They see you, Jesus. We want to be vessels. We want to be vessels for your glory. Father, just let that, your glory, be so radiant in our flesh, Lord, that people will be drawn, that we can just start talking to them about Jesus and see them born again and see miracles and healings happen right in front of our eyes out in the streets, Lord. Father, we just believe and trust in you for that. Just like Jesus, as he walked the earth, all those that came to him, he healed them all. He filled them all. He changed them all. And we're just believing for your greater, greater outpouring in these latter days as you see fit in your church, Father. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.